Well, here we are again with Habakkuk. This is week three. And we're going to begin with 2 Chronicles chapter 31. And we'll start reading with verse 1, and then we'll skip down to 5 and read through 10. Now, when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke down the pillars, hewed down the sacred poles, and pulled down the high places and the altars throughout all Judah and Benjamin and in Ephraim and Manasseh until they had destroyed them all. Then all the people of Israel returned to their cities, all to their individual properties. As soon as the word spread, the people of Israel gave in abundance the first fruits of grain, wine, oil, honey, and of all the produce in the field. And they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. The people of Israel and Judah who lived in the cities of Judah also brought in the tithe of cattle and sheep and the tithe of the dedicated things that had been consecrated to the Lord their God and laid them in heaps. In the third month, they began to pile up the heaps and finish them in the seventh month. When Hezekiah and the officials came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites about the heaps. The chief priest, Azariah, who was of the house of Zadok, answered him, "Since they began to bring the contributions into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty to spare, for the Lord has blessed his people so that we have this great supply left over." Okay, so the religious exercise on the Lord's Day, okay, that's done. Passover celebration, that's done. We just finished it. So what's next? Everybody goes to lunch. You go home and watch the game. You start up a weekly temple bingo. I mean, what do? They don't do any of that. They decide, now it's time to do some real work. The hard stuff. It's time to decide who your God really is. You see, when they finished Passover celebration, all those sacrifices, all that, the practices that go along with the tradition and the circumstance and everything that was done exactly to the law, to the letter, to their own hearts. I think what really happened in these people is they received a special impulse, a special direction from the Holy Spirit. Because these people said, "We can't go home. We can't go home. Because we have an obligation. Our hearts are crying out to do something, to make a stand in this land who our God is." They want to make sure that when they get home, Yahweh is the only God that is going to be in their path, in their homes, in their lands, no matter where they went. Only Yahweh was going to be exalted. So they claim a seek and destroy mission. They go to every monument of idolatry from the Negev to central Israel. That's a huge span of land. King Hezekiah, he took it upon himself to go to every house of worship for the Canaanite goddess Asherah. And he destroyed everything on sight. Everything. So the people, their job, you see, they knew what kinds of idols were basically hidden under the king's guard's radar. They knew where everything was hidden. All of the secret little cultic places. And they took care of the rest of the emblems of idolatry. The job was finished. You see, these people had a communion with God. God was real. God was visible to them. Was so real to them, and that zeal was so strong that anything that resembled any other even look to another deity was such an abomination and so offensive to them, they couldn't handle it. They went against every one of them. Don't we experience that same thing in our hearts once the Savior comes in and the Holy Spirit comes in and burns every bit of scum and waste and idolatry in our hearts? Now, something that really struck me when I was reading this. You realize that when they reformed themselves, they were actually influencing the reformation of everyone else that lived around them, whether they were Jewish or not. Think about it. If they destroy every other house of worship, every other idol, every other altar, every other anything, that means no one else can use it. And there'd be no reason for anyone to even visit these old worship sites, because there'd be nothing left to go to. You know, I bet they didn't even leave a tree standing near those sites to make sure that there were no building materials around to rebuild. I bet they moved the big rocks. I bet they took out everything, leaving just a waste. No chance to rebuild. Idolatry was not welcome there. So, you wouldn't even have photographers from Time and Life magazines to come out to take pictures of such architectural beauty so they could put it on the front page of their, you know, magazine. They didn't exist. But you know what else I see in this passage that is really cool? It doesn't say that there was a single mount of resistance against this. Nobody tried to stop them. Were they too afraid? Or were they that convinced that the Lord Almighty was the only God worth worshiping? Or was it both? So surprising was the change in this people that once everyone returned home, the priests and the Levites, they now can start a full-time ministry, and they get right to it. They don't waste any time. Hezekiah, he decides to set up a percentage of his own crown to go to the temple. He sets an example. For maintenance, for support, for whatever it is that these guys need. Then he issues an order to all of Judah, we're going to start taking up a temple tax. We're going to make sure that we always have everything necessary to keep church going in this land. So we're not just talking about tithes. Because after only a month after the Passover, the temple now has these heaps. They've got overstock. They don't know where to put the donations that have come in, the tithes that have come in. You gotta understand, these people were taking anything of any value from their homes and just sending it to the temple. Their first fruits of their labors, everything. First fruits of grain, wine, oil, honey, all the produce of the field. They brought in abundance, the tithe of everything. Not just what they grew, not just what they tended. They brought in abundantly the tithe of everything, anything that they could get their hands on. It's all for you. These people are thankful. Their supply came from him, and they knew it. And because it came from him, they said, well, we have something to give back. How about thanking God for his grace that he didn't destroy them when they were under the old leadership of Ahaz? Their hearts were changed. They wanted everybody to know. Paul, addressing the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 5. Beginning with verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But fornication and impurity of any kind or greed must not even be mentioned among you, as is proper among saints, entirely out of place as obscene, silly, and vulgar talk. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. Be sure of this, that no fornicator or impure person or one who is greedy, that is, an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Imitating Christ. So So this is what they decided to do with their time. Remember, these people didn't even go home until they were absolutely certain that every shred of a statue was destroyed. That's what they did with their time. They received that push from an almighty God who had given them so much, and that's what they did. They made clear that it's all you. It's all for you. Lord, we will bow to you, to no other God but you alone. We lay down our idols, thrones we have made, all that has taken our hearts. And you charge us, as your children, to go into this land with your gospel. This is to be our character, our daily living. Father, help us to imitate you. Help us to exhibit that we are absolutely yours, because you have given us so, so much. You've loved us. You've redeemed us. You've blessed us. Help us. Drive us. Father, if there is idolatry left in us, if we are placing something ahead of you, burn it. Father, we recommit ourselves to you. Let it be said about us that we are the church that knows who our God is, and that there is no other that can compare. And they will know by our love, by your power. We thank you, Jesus. It is all about you. Help us to grow in your presence today. Amen.